Hallelujah. Good morning. Praise the Lord. I'm excited about Jesus. Are you excited about Jesus? Are the young people excited about Jesus?
Yes, we are.
Well, I want to reciprocate and say back to the congregation here, my wife and I, on her behalf, also appreciate this congregation. I believe God has brought us together for this time of the world in which we are. He's raising up bodies like ours all around the world, a remnant of people coming together to worship and to praise the Almighty God, making preparation for His coming. I believe He's coming back soon. I believe Jesus is on the brink. I just sense it in my spirit of what's going on around the world right now. And I'll tell you what, people, if you're listening to the news, I believe God's giving wake-up calls to the church. He's giving wake-up calls. It just happened in Houston, Texas this week when the mayor, a lesbian mayor, ordered to get the sermons of five pastors there and wanted to look what they were preaching. That's the beginning. That's the starting. They're trying to push the envelope right now. And persecution, I tell you, the church needs to repent. Or we're going to go, I just do not have persecution. But when I read scripture, persecution is what does the cleansing. But I tell you what, we can avoid some terrible things in this country alone if we repent. Amen? This morning on Fox News, there was a priest on there, and I'm not going to get into the whole deal with what they're talking about on the subject either, but he said everybody's welcome that comes into the church. Everybody's welcome. But the only problem he didn't say about that is that they need to change. They need to repent. When they come in, they need to go out differently than when they came in. Amen. The Bible teaches that we're to warn the wicked in their way. We're to warn them. And pastors have got to start warning the wicked from the pulpits and not being afraid of the government and what they can do or can't do to you. We need to preach the word of God. We are to do what God says first and not to be fearful of what the government would say or do to us. And pastors all around the nation right now, there's a lot of great ones out there that are forming around these five pastors in Texas coming up in October, and they're going down to stand with these pastors right now to let the world know, let this country know that we are church, we worship the God of heaven, the Creator, and we're not going to back down, and we're going to stand for it no matter what you say or do. And we need to be in prayer for these pastors because, people, we are literally seeing the beginning of the end of time for Jesus to come back. Amen. To me, it's an exciting time. I believe it's getting ready. It's coming soon. It's heating up. And we need to be ready. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's right. We got to pray for our church. We don't got to. We want to. Oh, by the way, is everybody warm in here today?
Yeah.
Is everybody warm? Well, we want to thank the Lord for a brand new furnace in this church. They installed it. I want to thank again Brother Rod Taylor. He spent the day down here while they were installing a brand new furnace down here, which the Lord had paid for through the other source, the other church. They actually paid for it. And it's all installed now, and we just want to give the Lord the glory. Amen. It's his continued favor that's coming on Crossfire. And we have to be aware of that and be sensitive in our spirit that God is doing something at Crossfire Assembly. These just don't happen. I'm not smart enough to make it happen. I'm just going along and letting the Lord do the work because He knows how to do it. And who would ever dreamt, a little over 3 years ago, we'd be in a building that we're going to get for almost nothing, and they even want to put a furnace in for us. And other things they talked to me yesterday or Friday when I was here with them too that they're going to do in this building for us and pay for it. It's unbelievable. Even lawyers that we're meeting with to finalize this transaction say, there's got to be something in it for you, preacher. They can't figure it out. They cannot figure it out. But praise the Lord, maybe they'll come to church and figure it out.
Amen?
Praise the Lord. But this is going to be a church as long as the Lord gives me the strength, and it's His will that I'm up in this pulpit with His help and His guidance. We're going to preach the Word of God along with a congregation that I believe He brought in that has of like faith that wants to see the Word of God. Sometimes sermons aren't fun. I'm going to preach sermons that don't feel good. Is that okay? I'm going to talk things to you that you may say, who does he think he is? Is that okay? Because if it's in the Word of God, I know I'm safe. But I'm going to preach the truth of the Word of God, because now is the time not to back away from it, but to get fired up. And I tell you what, my message for today is sold out. I'm saying this while the young people are in here too. You need to be sold out for Jesus in these days that we live. Young or old, we need to be sold out. We need to give God everything, our best, in the days we live. Amen? Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. And Lord, right now we lift up the young people that are here this morning that you brought into our body. We are so grateful for these young people, Lord. We thank you. We love them, Father, and would ask that you would help each one of us, the older people, the young adults, and all of us to treat each other with love and respect, that these young people can see it and sense it and always feel that this is a place they can come to know that there's people who truly love them and are concerned about their future and concerned about their souls and their salvation. So, Lord, we lift them up before your throne right now because they're yours. You created them, Father. We pray that the Holy Spirit right now would even now speak into their little hearts, Father. Prepare for what God's got for them this morning, Lord, and use them for your glory, Lord. Let it germinate within them, Lord. Let them become radical should Jesus tarry, Lord. Let them be so on fire for the Lord. Let your anointing be upon them when they go into their schools, when they go into their homes, when they go into their neighborhoods, wherever they go, Lord, begin to raise up these young people and supernaturally move through them through the power of your Holy Spirit, that when they lay hands on somebody, when they talk to a friend, that friend will say, I want to know about Jesus. And Lord, let it flow through our young people. Anoint Sandra, Lord, as you guide her today and direct her, Father, in how to minister to these young people, that the Word of God will be planted deep within their spirits. And we praise you, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. 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 Praise the Lord. You may be dismissed, young people. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Shondora kiyandara keleandora rokoyande. Hallelujah, Jesus. We praise you, Lord. We glorify you, Heavenly Father. Glory to God. Heavenly Father, again we come before you, Lord, and we are not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. And Lord, this morning I pray your anointing upon your word, Lord, to even double it, Father, that as I preach it and we hear it, that it'll speak to our hearts, that it'll convict our hearts, that it'll change us and challenge us to be the people that you created us to be, to glorify you, the mighty God, and touch each one of us individually, Father, as well as corporately, this morning, and put the fire of the Holy Spirit in us, Father, right now in Jesus' name. And we come against demonic spirits. We come against seducing spirits that would try to hinder people sitting in this congregation to receive what you have for them today. We command you, seducing spirits, to be gone in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, let loose right now, of anybody that's sitting here, numb in their head and not wanting to hear what I'm going to speak on today from your word, Father. Loose them in the name of Jesus. And we praise you, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Sold out. I came across this and I thought, I'm going to read it today. Sold out. There was this report of a pastor who, tongue-in-cheek, he printed an item in his Sunday bulletin. In it, he listed all the reasons why he stopped attending sporting events. He wrote, every time I go, they ask me for money. Are you getting this now? The fans don't seem very friendly, and the seats are too hard. The coach never comes to call on me, and the referee makes decisions that I don't agree with. A lot of the people come only to see what the team jerseys and other people are wearing. Some games extended into overtime, making me late getting home. And the band plays some awful numbers that I've never heard before. Usually the games are scheduled when I want to do other things. And the stadium brings up bad childhood memories of my parents taking me there far too many times. And don't you know it? Ever since I read that book on sports, I know more than the coaches do anyway. Do you hear a parallel kind of in there? I thought it was good. Sold out. Who are we sold out to? Who are we sold out to? Rabbi Zacharias tells a story about a boy that loved collecting marbles. He lived next door to a little girl who had a lot of candy. She said to him, "If you'll give me all your marbles, I'll give you all my candy." He said he'd think about it. The next day, he hid a few of the marbles in his room and offered the rest to the little girl for her candy. That night, he couldn't get to sleep. He tossed and he turned and he turned and he tossed all night because he was so troubled about it. And what do you think troubled him so much that he couldn't sleep? What troubled me was the thought, did she really give me all the candy? Sold out. Sold out. In our story this morning in Scripture, we meet a man who wanted everything God could give. How many want everything God can give you? Amen. Yeah. Amen? He came to Jesus, and here's what it says in Luke 18:18, and also you can find it again in Matthew and Mark, also the same story that the Lord put in there. So he must want us to heed something here, that he put it in there three times. It says, Luke 18:18, and a certain ruler asked him, saying, "Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" What shall I do to inherit eternal life? Well, for one thing, we can't inherit eternal life anyway. We can't inherit it. It's a gift from God through salvation by faith, amen? Through repentance. He wanted everything God could give him. Again in Luke 18:19-21, and Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good?" See, I believe this rich young ruler, when he said that he thought he was good. That he believed he was good also. And today we have many that believe they're good. They sit in churches and they think they're good. We're good people. Listen to what Jesus goes on to say. None is good save one that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, all these things have I kept from my youth up. And then in response, Jesus asked him for everything he could give. He reversed it. You see, it says in Luke 18:22. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, "Yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." Whew. Wow. Boy, Jesus really put him in the spot, didn't he, huh? It made me think of Peter, too, that Peter says, "I'll die for you, Lord. I'll die for you." Peter thought he was sold out. He thought he was really sold out. This young ruler thought he was good, and I believe he really thought he was totally sold out because he said he kept those commandments. But see, Jesus knows other things. We always forget that God reads the intent of the heart. Man can't run from that. Hey, exciting this morning, too, on the news. You know how liberal the colleges are today, the secular ones. A lot of atheist professors and things like that. Well, they had a young lady in there this morning that got on, and they broadcast it on Fox News, and it was so exciting because, see, the power of God's word is so powerful. She was raised in an atheist home, and she's an atheist professor, but I won't get into the whole story, but she told it on Fox News. But God got a hold of her life, and she's a sister in Christ today, born again. Because she found out that she couldn't rebuttal the word of God. There's things in there that started coming to her and say, This has got to be real. This has got to be true. And to the point where she surrendered her life to Jesus Christ. Isn't that exciting? Amen. It's exciting! Amen. We need more of those in college. I like what Luke 18:23 says about the young rich ruler, what he said. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. Did you hear that? He was sorrowful because he was very rich, and Jesus just told him to go sell all that he has and give to the poor and follow him. How many today are not following Jesus because it's going to cost them something? Even within the church, even if you're not rich, are there people sitting in churches today who they don't want to follow the Lord because it's going to cost them something? And so we withhold. We're not sold out. Sometime back, there's a story of a popular young preacher who talked about the importance of taking up your cross and following Christ. He was very earnest and powerful in his presentation. But then he said, Jesus taught that the rich should sell all their possessions and give their money to the poor. And then a few years ago, the Obama administration maintained that if the rich didn't give more to underwrite certain government social programs, that it would be more, you know, morally troubling. And I remember when he said that. How many of you do? Supporting that belief, comedian Stephen Colbert referred to this story about the rich young ruler we've read today, and he said roughly the same thing that a preacher has said in the video. Jesus actually said rich people should sell all their possessions to give the money to the poor. That's what he said. Now, there's a couple of problems here. There's a couple problems with Colbert's statement that I'm going to bring to you right now. First, Jesus never told the rich young ruler to give it to the government. And I can prove that through Scripture. He never said that. I don't expect any contradiction on that. Number two, Jesus never told the rich to sell all that they had and give it to all the poor, did he? He didn't say that. Greater wealth calls for greater responsibility. Did you know that? And God expects the wealthy to step up and help those who are less fortunate. But Jesus never said that the rich should sell all that they had, then give it to the poor. You won't find it in Scripture. It's not in there. Did you know that? See, a lot of people think it is because they don't read their Bible and they don't study it. And so see how easy you can twist Scripture or change Scripture so subtly that it sounds so good and people don't even realize it. And they sit in churches all across America and they think they're good people hearing good words that make them feel good and they don't study the Word of God. Here's the deal. Jesus didn't say the rich had to sell everything they had and give it away to the poor. You know who he told that to? He told that to the rich young ruler. He didn't say it to anybody else. He said it to the rich young ruler. And he only said it to him because he was infected. He was infected in his soul. He was sick in his soul, people. He was infected with greed, number one, and he was infected with selfishness. And that's why we protect our hearts. See, that's why the Lord likes to sometimes have us hold our purses and our billfolds up, and maybe we should do that in a service and put them all in a big pile here and surrender them to Jesus. Amen? Ooh, it's really quiet now. I'm really getting touching home now, huh? This isn't thick because it's full of money either, by the way. It's all pictures of my wife. No, I'm just... Sounded good, didn't it? But she's going to get me on that one now. See, I want to add this too. Being rich doesn't necessarily mean you have the Lord's approval on your life either. Churches will believe that, and people will believe that if they're wealthy and they have big, beautiful buildings and they're full of people and the people in there are filthy rich, that God's approval's on them. But that's not true. And that's being taught in some denominations today within our country, that God wants us all to be wealthy and healthy and wise. That is not in the Word of God. And we got to be careful that just because somebody seems like everything they touch turns to gold, boy, they must have the approval of God on their life. Sometimes the enemy takes his hand away from people because he's got their hearts through greed and selfishness, and they don't even realize it, that they're not sold out to Jesus. And we got to be careful. The rich young ruler thought he was sold out to Jesus. But he thought, well, maybe there's one more thing he needs to do. Jesus told him, and he became very sorrowful about that because he had great riches, great wealth, and he didn't want to surrender that. Luke 12:15 says, "And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesses." I'm thanking the Lord that that's in there. Because some people have nothing around the world and others have much, but it isn't that what determines whether we go to heaven or we're right with the Lord or not. Matthew 19:23 says, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, verily I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven." That's scary, isn't it? Because I've watched through my Christian walk too, as I watch brothers and sisters in Christ who have been supernaturally blessed, I believe by God in a lot of ways, and they walk away from the Lord. They only come to church maybe Easter and Christmas because they're wealthy. They're toys. They built their treasure chest up on this earth. They got all the toys. They got the money to travel here and to travel there and to do all the things in this world that they love to do. And God comes in second place, maybe third or fourth place. And they lose that trust and need to, because they got the money for the doctor. They got the money for whatever they need in life, and they no longer have to place their trust in God. They no longer look toward Him. And we have to remember always to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, even as God blesses your life, even as God blesses this church. It's not us. It's our Heavenly Father that is blessing us and able to bring and move the gospel forward in this world that we live right now. And as individuals, as God begins to bless your life, don't fade away from God, because He is the source where those blessings are coming from. Continue to give Him the praise. Continue to give Him the glory. Continue to come to church. Continue to pray. Continue to fellowship in order that you don't lose that sensitivity. Amen? We need to do that, brothers and sisters. The source of his spiritual sickness was his love for his possessions and his money. It switched from God to these things here. That's what money does. That's why the Lord put that in there. It's almost impossible for a rich man to come to the Lord, because their trust is no longer in Jesus. It's what they have. And we need to be careful of that. And there's only one cure for spiritual sickness. He needed to renounce the world. He needed to renounce the world. And he loved the world. And the Bible says if we love the world, we don't have the love of the Father. And he needed to sell everything, give money to the poor. He needed to follow Jesus. He needed to follow Jesus. If this young man wanted all that Jesus could give him, then he needed to give Jesus all that he had. Amen? He needed to give Jesus everything. And you and I, even where we're at in life, we need to give Jesus. If we're going to be sold out, we need to give him everything. We need to give him our time and our talents and our treasures too, don't we? Jesus was calling for him to be sold out. And even today, I believe he's calling some of us in here. If there are any in here this morning and you're not totally sold out to Jesus, I believe God is calling you right now. Be totally sold out to him. You know something, people? I probably say this frequently, and I'm going to keep doing it because we're leaky vessels anyway. We forget. But when we're totally sold out for Jesus, I'm preaching to myself too, by the way. I want to always remind you of that. That's one of the hardest things when I prepare messages. I catch things. Amen? So I'm not standing up here, Mr. Spiritual Wonderful, because the Holy Spirit speaks to me when I prepare messages. But we need, I think I lost my track after I said that too here. Oh, I know what I was going to say. We need to be totally sold out to the Lord, and when we're not, we miss the blessings of God. We miss the experience of knowing that we serve a supernatural God. When we're not totally sold out, is all we do is we play church until the day we die. That's all we do. But if we're totally sold out, we begin to walk in the supernatural and begin to see the power of God move in the areas of our life where we never thought He ever would or could. But when we're not sold out, we miss the blessings of God. We miss to see what God is doing in our family, in our friends, in our work, in our jobs, in our church. We miss it all because it's all we are is we're not totally sold out. We're ready to make a move another direction should the wind blow. And God wants us to stay focused like a laser beam upon Him. That if the weather's nice and it's 80 degrees and I should have been on the golf course this morning, the Lord says you should be in church today because the message is may be prepared for you. See, God had every one of you in mind here today as well as me when I preached this today. He knows. I don't. But see what we miss when we're not sold out, people? It's exciting to be sold out. You need to ask God, Lord, help me to be sold out more and more in my life. Sometimes it's a process as God convicts and He guides and He directs us. Amen? He's never there. I want to encourage you that I don't believe God is there ready to beat you over the head because you're not where you're supposed to be. I think this loving, gracious God in His mercy is always wooing you and I to become more and more sold out to Him. I believe that. You know, in Luke chapter 9, 57 and 62, again, speaking of disciples tested, Jesus said, and it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto Him, Lord, I will follow Thee whithersoever Thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay His head. Can you believe that? The Creator of the world didn't have a place to lay His head. But Jesus said, you follow Me. There's going to be times when you don't have any place to lay your head. You're going to wonder where your next meal is going to come from. You're going to wonder where your money's going to come from. You're going to wonder where the roof over your head, the clothing on your back is going to come. If you follow Me, there's no guarantees except in Me. And I bet that man stood there. In other words, if this man followed Jesus, he might not have a place to sleep that night. Jesus was being honest with him. If you want to follow Me, you better be ready. You better count the cost if you want to follow Me. Isn't He an exciting God? But see, when you're sold out, you put your total trust in Him. See, to get to heaven, I got to put my total trust in Jesus. I fight against any good things that I may think I do. Because it isn't any good thing that I do. I only do good things to glorify God. I do nothing to make thinking, now He's really going to let me into heaven. I put my total trust in Him. And Jesus told him, He said, there's no way to lay your head sometimes when you follow Me. Paraphrasing. And then He went on to say, and said unto another, follow Me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead. In other words, let the spiritually dead bury the dead. But go thou and preach the kingdom of God. You know, Jesus wasn't being harsh there. Is what He was trying to teach here is that God should always be first. Is really what He was trying to teach this man. That God should always be first. There's plenty of people to bury the dead person, but there's not very many people that want to go out and preach the gospel. There's not too many people who want to go out and share the good news that Jesus Christ died on a cross for your sins and mine. But there's plenty of people who say, give me a shovel, I'll help bury him. There's plenty of people out there to do that. And another also said, Lord, I will follow Thee. Let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home in My house. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Sounds harsh again, doesn't it? Remember Dr. Nichols last week when he's talking about the kingdom of God, how it grows? Remember how he talked about how when God called the disciples, how they dropped everything and... This man wanted to go back home. He wanted to say goodbye to Sally and Ann and Bob and all the... Got plenty of Bobs in here anyway. But you know, what would have Bob and Sally and Sue and all of them tried to do when they saw brother, uncle, father, whatever he was to them, come home and say, I'm going to go, I'm going to leave, I'm going to go around the world, I'm going to leave, I'm going to walk with this man named Jesus, and they're not where they belong, they're lost sinners, and they're looking at him and say, you idiot, what do you think you're doing? Wise up. They may have talked him out of going what God called him to do. I've got loved ones that they're still dumbfounded in their mind that we give to the church. They're still dumbfounded when I told them I was going overseas to do missionary work in Russia and Ukraine. He said, "What do you want to do that for?" That's what Jesus was talking about right here. When I go into the ghettos and I minister the gospel here, he said, "What do you want to go talk to those people for? There's plenty of people around here." That's the way unsaved people talk and think. And that's what Jesus was warning this man. You want to go back home, you'll probably never come back. When Jesus calls you, accept his invitation. When he speaks into your and my heart to do something, we need to do it right now when we know it's him. Jesus seemed harsh, but he wasn't. He was trying to get a point across to these people. And over again, Jesus told these folks to pick up their crosses and follow him, as he tells you and I to pick up the cross, to count the cost. To count the cost. He didn't tell us it's going to be a free way, easy way, all the way. He didn't tell us that. He told us to pick up our crosses. And what do crosses represent? Death. Pain, suffering. He told us to pick up our own crosses and follow him. You're going to have a hard road when you follow me, but you don't have to fear what's going to happen because I've overcome the world. And as the hard things in life and Christianity come, and sometimes we can't go to the ball game, sometimes we can't do this, sometimes we got to go different directions when we know we're supposed to be with God's people or doing God's work, we need to do it because we need to be sold out for Jesus. Amen? Essentially, Jesus was saying, if you're not going to give me everything, don't bother me. Jesus isn't interested in just some of their marbles. He wanted all. For Jesus, it's all or nothing. Did you know that? It's not 99.9% and Jesus is really pleased with me. No, it's 100%. And again, Jesus doesn't say that with condemnation in his heart or voice toward us. He knows how great it is that we would surrender all to him, that we would be told. Did you know that when we are totally sold out for Jesus, he can do everything through us and anything that he desires in our life and use us in any way because he knows he can depend on us because we are totally sold out? That's what sold out does. When you say, well, I could do this, or my brother asked me to go on a motorcycle ride with him today. I could have said, well, I can have somebody in the church just fill in for an hour and just, ramble on for an hour or whatever they want to do. I'm going to go have a nice, it's a nice day. It's 66 degrees today. But I said to him instantly, I said, no. I said, I preach the Word of God on Sundays. I preach the Word of God on Sundays. And that's what I'm going to do. I'd rather be here with you people preaching the Word of God. It is fun doing that thing. But you know something? When Jesus comes and we're standing in heaven, I'm going to have all the eternity to do the things that the Lord knows I enjoy doing. That's what I'm looking forward to. And sure, it costs us something here. It may cost us a little fun with the family. It may cost us something. But people, when you're sold out, and I'm not standing here telling, I'm totally sold out. God's still working on me too. I've got a long way to go too. But we need to be sold out. It's the same when you become a Christian. When you call Jesus your Lord, you've turned not only your being, but also ownership of your possessions and everything you own. It's his. When you give your life to him, you have me all, Lord. You have everything I own, our home, our cars, our toys, our families. It's all yours, Lord. I'm yours. I give it all to you. You know something? When you give it to him, it's a lot easier to go through life, too. Amen. Then you can literally cast all your care upon Jesus when you have care in life, because he owns it all anyway. He owns your family. He created them. You don't. And he'll do the work in their life when you surrender them to him. See, when I take my wallet out, I explain that everything in that wallet belongs to God. You should be happy, because, see, I said I had your picture in there. But how many hold back? You know something? I'm not saying that just for this church, too. I want to make that clear. But if you're in here, let the Holy Spirit do the conviction. But did you know something? People that don't pay their tithes or they give their offerings to God. But then you'll hear them talk about the Vikings game. Ouch. You'll hear him talk about the movies. You'll hear him talk about this and about that, which cost a lot of money. But they won't give to God. There's something wrong with that. But I'll let the Holy Spirit do the work. Because it just isn't this church. It's every church that people try to justify for not giving to God. And by not doing that, you miss the blessing of God. You miss what God will do in our lives. Many times, even if we're struggling financially, we give our last dime to Jesus. That's the best place to put it, because he knows how to increase that dime.
Yes, he does.
He knows how to make that dime a $10 bill. He knows how to make that $10 bill a $100 bill. And he knows how to make that $100 bill a $1,000 bill, and on and on and on and on. But we never give him the opportunity because we, to be real honest with you, we don't trust him. We don't trust Jesus with our finances. But that's where Jesus says, prove me, doesn't he? But many times Christians don't. They only give God a little here and a little there because they want to save for this and that. Ouch. I'm talking church-wide, family of God, not just this church. But we have to think about those things, people. See, I give him a portion of that every Sunday. But it all belongs to him anyway. Everything I make belongs to God. 100%. He only asks for a very small percentage, and we can't even be faithful with that sometimes, can we? And Jesus isn't going to beat you over the head or me or whatever. It's just that we lose out. We miss. We go through life struggling, and never knowing and saying, why? Why doesn't it get better in my life? And you got to go into the Word of God and find out why it doesn't get better in your life, because we're not sold out. See, the money I give to the church is spent on bills, not entertainment. It's spent on the things that keep this going, too. A lot of people try to get angry. And I'm not talking necessarily the church. I'm talking the world, too. They'll sit there and say, what do you give money to the church for? It takes money to do ministry, too, in this world we live. It takes money to keep the lights going, to keep the heat on, the air conditioning on, and keep the place looking good. And when things are falling down, we got to replace them. And everything within a church costs money. It takes money. It takes money to print bulletins. It takes money to do everything. It takes money to have a ministry to get the Word of God out to a lost and dying world. And you and I are part of that ministry, that church that God calls together in order for it to happen. And it's sad that we have preachers and evangelists and missionaries on the field today that take advantage of it for their own selfish greed. And it makes it bad for everybody else out there. But I tell you what, at Crossfire Assembly, I'll speak to us as a church, we're going to glorify God in how we spend our money too. And how we use the money for his glory within this church. It's going to be for him. It's for him. What I use that money for should reflect the God I serve, even in a personal level, on your personal level. How you spend your personal money should reflect how you love the Lord. Did you know that? And there's Christian men, especially, that will put money into pornography. They'll put money into things that will tear their families apart and bring hindrance into their homes, and they're not glorifying God, and God knows and sees that. And he convicts. But our money is his, and we spend it to glorify him. And he asked for a little bit. That's all he asked for. And it comes in here to keep his work going forward. In the same way, my family belongs to Jesus. They're not mine. They're his. My daughter, my wife, I don't own them. The Lord does. Even though I tell my wife, I own her. I'm going to get the title back at me, I know it. But did you know something? Men especially? God's going to hold me accountable how I treat her and my family and you. He's going to hold me accountable. Because why? They belong to God. God loves them. He gave them to me as he gave each other's to you, husbands, wives, children, uncles, aunts, grandpas, grandmas. He gave each one of us to each other's, and we're to love them. And how we treat them, we're going to be held accountable. Amen? See, that's being sold out when you think God's thoughts. Not just, I'm not sitting up here and saying I'm a nice person, but if you do what God wants you to do, I look really nice, don't I? Because I do what God wants me to do. I do the way he treats, way I want him to treat me. He loves us. And when he owns something, we treat his with respect and love too. Jesus wants your wallet. He wants your house. He wants your car. He wants your family. But most of all, Jesus wants you. That's what he really wants. He doesn't need the money in that sense. If he wanted to, he could just make everything happen just like that himself. But he uses our faith to see if we're sold out in our lives in every area. Every area you're in my life, God is doing a work some way, somehow to see if we're sold out. He's looking at it. He's watching it. He isn't doing it to bring condemnation. He's seeing if we are totally sold out, if he can use us for his glory in this earth that we live on. And that's what we should ask the convert also. That when they give their lives to Jesus, are they going to commit everything to him? Too many people, when they tell somebody, give your life to Jesus and everything's woohoo. No. I tell people when I witness, just like the guy a couple of weeks ago when I shared the gospel with him, I told him, now you may even have more problems than you ever dreamt for because now you got an enemy after you. His name's Satan. And he may try to hinder you from walking with Jesus. Your problems might even get fired up a little more, but don't be discouraged. You can now run to Jesus and you can cry out to him because now you belong to him. And that's what we do. There's a story about a church in South America where the preacher had gotten really intense with his sermons on sacrificing for Jesus and the importance of turning all your possessions over to him. Several of the people became so convicted that they literally handed over the deeds to their homes. I'll collect yours after the service. So they prayed about their deeds for a long time, the church did. Then they called the homeowners into the church building and explained that they were accepting these deeds in the name of Jesus. But they were returning the deeds to them under the understanding that the homes now belonged to Jesus. They could live in the homes, but they no longer belonged to them. They were now caretakers of God's property, and they would be expected to find ways of using their homes for Jesus. I like that. Essentially, that's what we do when we make Jesus our Lord. We turn over our homes, our cars, our families, our bank accounts, our very lives. It's all his. We are all his. We are sold out 100% for Jesus. And then we have to come to grips with the fact that God wants all of our marbles. We don't hold any back. We turn our homes over to him, all our resources, and that he wants us to use those resources to invest into the kingdom of God. That's what he wants. You see, we have a home. We have mortgage payments, don't we? We pay the electric, the gas, the water, the sewage. We vacuum the carpets. We mow the yard. We shovel the snow and on and on and on. We buy groceries for the refrigerator. These are all normal investments we do to keep the home running, don't we? every month. But now every once in a while we need to invest in something more for the house. Sometimes the microwave goes belly up, doesn't it? The refrigerator quits working. So now we got to put money into something that we didn't plan on and expect. The furnace breaks down. We have to repair, replace it. And as time goes on, we'll have to make other items that go above and beyond the normal monthly bills we have to pay. But that's how the kingdom of God works also. And I thank God for this body of believers, I want to say, is because the missionaries that we're supporting around the world right now, God is blessing them in how we help support along with other churches in what they're doing overseas. People are coming by to the Lord by the dozens and by the hundreds and maybe eventually by the thousands. But right now the reports I get back from them by the hundreds because of the money that you and I are investing into those missionaries' lives right now. Isn't that exciting? You and I can't be over there, but we're supporting God's kingdom by the people who are saying, we're sold out, we're going to leave our homes and go overseas. And they're winning people to Jesus. They're people are getting healed. All kinds of things are happening because of the investment that we're doing as this church, as God has continued to do work to grow us. We're sold out. We're a sold out people, amen? Amen. We should be a sold out people. The Bible says that you and I were part of God's building. I'm not talking about the physical building we're meeting in, but rather we are part of God's church, His spiritual house. It says in Ephesians 2, 19 through 22, "Now therefore we are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto the holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit." If you are in here this morning, a born-again, blood-bought Christian, repented of your sins, have Jesus Christ and your Lord as Savior, you can take that scripture right there. You're part of the spiritual home. Isn't that exciting? That's exciting! It's exciting. In other words, you and I are God's building. This body of believers, His temple. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit if you are a born-again Christian this morning. Now, part of that involves in giving our treasure. Many in the congregation realize the importance of giving, right? They understand the importance of giving their treasure to maintain God's spiritual house, which I talked about. But building up the spiritual house all requires us to use our time and our talents. I like this, again, this church, because God has raised people in this church, brought people into this church. I know there's people that pray for this church. And we can't see everything that God is using you to do in here. So don't ever say, I'm not in the equation, because you are. There's people in here that pray that you don't see. There's people that help clean this place. There's people who do the music and the singing. There's people who take care of the children. There's people who do things to make this church a working church with all these temple. You and I, the temple of the Holy Spirit. And we're building it when we're sold out. And we don't depend on somebody else. We look to say, God, how can I fit into that body in order to make your kingdom an exciting place to work and to be? We give it all. We sell out to the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. A great church like this continues to be a great church because everybody says, if it's going to be great, it's going to be up to me. That's how we should look at it. There's a young man from another church who just recently who's been taking kids to youth group. This is true. This isn't just an illustration. He's been taking kids to youth group in a church every Sunday. And his minivan just isn't doing the job anymore, so he and his wife have decided they need to invest in a 12 to 15 passenger van. It won't belong to the church. They'll pay for it, keep it, insure it, pay for upkeep, but it will belong to God. The vehicle's main purpose will be getting kids to church that might not get there otherwise. Isn't that exciting? And we have people within this body that do the same thing. And I thank God for that. And we need to be sold out. Those folks are sold out. Wouldn't you say? The cross, Jesus, I want to make this. The cross Jesus asked you to pick up is different than the cross he asked me to pick up. Did you know that? We don't all carry the same cross. There's going to be things in your life that God's going to require of you or speak into your heart, and he's going to ask you to carry that. I carry my own in this ministry. He's got a cross for each one of you to pick up and carry should you accept that, and many of you have. There's a cross there. It says in Romans chapter 12, 4 and 8, for as we have many members in one body, and all the members have not the same office. So we being many are one body in Christ, and every one member of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Everybody's got a different office. We all have a body, and that body is a part with different meanings. My hands serve the body differently from my feet. Did you know that? They serve differently. My ears serve differently than my eyes. Don't they? My heart serves the body differently than my lungs, and yet my earthly body functions best when all those parts are all doing their work together. When they're all working, it's really great, isn't it? And that's how it works in the spiritual realm within the body of Christ. When we're sold out as a body, we are all looking for how can I be used to the max in what we're doing within this body. That's what he's raising up in these last days before Jesus comes back. See, God isn't slowing down in ministry when he gets closer. Some people are giving up and slowing down. They say, well, Jesus is coming anyway. I'm not going to get involved with anything or get all fired up for this and that. It's all going to blah, blah, blah anyway. But actually, God is in a hurry because he loves souls, and he is still moving through churches and congregations and people in those congregations to do a work, to a greater work in these last days, a greater work. And I'm not saying greater than Jesus. I'm talking about a work. There's so many of us that God wants to raise up. We'll do a greater work because there's more of us. I believe we're entering a time where we're going to see the supernatural of the book of Acts. We're going to complete that book of Acts, people. I believe that. I believe that with my whole heart that one day God is going to turn the power up, and he's already doing it around the world, where we're going to have that anointing. It's going to be so great. His presence will be so great, and that as we're sold out, I want to be sold out and ready as God turns the power up, because he's going to bring people in here. He's going to bring circumstances into our lives that the power is going to be turned up, that they will supernaturally be ministered to by his power through his people. But we got to be ready. Are we coming here expecting? We need to. We need to come here expecting the power of God. Hallelujah. I am. I'm excited what Jesus is doing in the world that we're living in. Hallelujah. I'm proud of this church because we have people in here who are sold out. But God wants us all sold. He wants me more sold out. He wants me 100% sold out. He's got work to do. But I got to look to him and ask him to do the work, because he's not going to do the work unless I want him to. Yeah. Amen? It isn't just going to happen. And did you know something? When people are sold out, it's infectious. Get behind somebody who's fired up for Jesus, and you want to get behind him and walk with him. You want to be part of what God's doing. You say, whoa, people are getting saved over here by the thousands. I'm getting involved in that one. Boy, the people over here, look at dead people are crawling out of their caskets. I want to be part of that team. Man, let's go down to Mercy Hospital and clean it out. You're going to follow me. You're going to follow me. You know, we can sit there and think that, but that is the true Jesus. That's the Jesus I read in the scriptures, because in the book of Acts, all were healed. Not some, all. Everybody that came to Jesus that were sold out in their faith, they came there, they got healed, they got delivered, and they got what Jesus promised them. And those Christians in that day, they were following each other's. The Bible says they had great faith, great works were they doing, and the church was being added to continually because these Christians were sold out. Persecution was actually going on in their life. And God was using him in a supernatural way. Whew. Remember the story I told you at the beginning of the sermon? Remember why that little boy tossed and turned all night long? He wondered, did she give me all her candy? Did she give all that she promised? And that's why many people don't sell out for Jesus. They don't believe Jesus will give them all that he promised. It says in Matthew 6:33, listen to this, people. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness in everything in our lives. In everything. What's the rest of the verse? Yeah. Yeah. He didn't say, and a few things are going to be added on. He said, and all these things shall be added on to you as well. We're shortchanging ourselves, people. When we're not sold out in every facet of our life, every area, and we're so quick to do this and to do that and avoid the things what God wants us to do, we're missing what God has got. Because when we do what he tells us to do, he is moving supernaturally within our health. He's working in our finances. He's working in our relationships. He's working in every aspect of our life. Because he simply says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things are added on. All we have need of is added on. That means I don't have to stay away from doing what God wants me to do because I don't have this or can't do that. It's what I do by faith as I go forward and I do the things God's called me to do. And while I'm doing them, guess what? He's adding on to the things in my life that I need to make it through. He's doing the work. When we let him do the work, it gets done right. Otherwise, you're sitting there pulling your hair out or scratching your head because you're trying to do the work when God said he had added on himself because I'm busy doing his work. That's an exciting God we live for. Whew. That's an exciting God. Let's all stand, please. I was going to keep on, but I just feel right now, I just want to stop it right here and believe that. Brahm, you come up here again too. I want you guys to lead us in amazing grace again. Because, see, it's God's amazing grace that's brought us all in here. And I want, and as they lead us again, truly, don't look at each other's. Truly, close your eyes and, if you want, raise your hands and sing this to Jesus. Because this is an anointed song that came from a heart, a heavy heart, that was focused on Jesus. Go ahead. Hallelujah.
How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, and now I am found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to smile and raise the tears to please. How precious is that grace of him, the hour I first believed.
Through many dangers,
hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, da 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 ki ande. Oh, sho da da ki asayas.
And I said, lead me home.
Hallelujah.
Even there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we know less praise to sing God's grace than when we first begun.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus. Right now, Lord, with every head bowed, I believe if you're in here this morning and you've never made that commitment to this amazing Jesus, like the rich young ruler, Jesus said, sell everything and follow me. There's people who are down and outers that have nothing also that refuse to follow Jesus because they're looking to others to take care of them rather than the one who can. But they don't realize they're missing more than just on this earth. They'll miss eternity because the only way that you and I can go to heaven is through Jesus Christ. Jesus told us we must be born again. He told us that we need to repent, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And there's none righteous, no, not one. There's not one human being that's righteous. And it's only through His righteousness that will get us to heaven. And if you're in here this morning, I believe you're here by design. I believe that God has brought you in here to give you an opportunity, and it might be your last opportunity, to ever respond to His call. And He's calling you right now to come to Him and to put your trust in Him for all eternity. To trust Him in every area of your life, in your finances, in your health, in your home. But most of all, should you die or Jesus comes back, you're going to be part of the church. Because, see, this is temporary anyway. This is only for a moment. This church is only here for a small moment on this earth, and it's going to burn up. But Jesus came and died on a cross because He looked at our eternity and said, I want to restore that and reconcile that relationship to this lost creation. So is there anybody in here with all your heads bowed, please? Anybody that said, hey, I want to surrender to this loving Jesus. I want to not only experience Him for eternity, but I want to know what it is to serve God on this earth right now. But most of all, I desire salvation and to know should I die that I would go to heaven. Is there anybody in here and the Holy Spirit is convicting your heart now and you say, I should be up in front. I'm going to call you to come because everybody that Jesus called, He called publicly because He said, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father in heaven. Is there anybody in here right now said, I'd like to give my life to Jesus? See, everybody that's in here as a Christian had done that at one point of our lives. Is there anybody? This might be your last chance. This might be your last chance. I believe God has brought at least two people in here, three people in here this morning that He's speaking to. I'll just give it a moment because this may be your last time. I'm going to count to three, and then I'm just going to forward and pray. One, two, three. Heavenly Father, we come to You in the name of Jesus again. I shouldn't say again, Lord, because You haven't left. You're here. And Father, I lift up before You by faith right now the people that You brought in here this morning. Those that should have walked forward, Father, I'll let You do the convicting because You don't condemn them. You simply call them because You're a loving God. You don't force, so I will not try to force. But Lord, those that are already in here and you're a born-again Christian and you've committed your lives to Christ and the Lord Jesus Christ and you live for Him, and I would lift them up right now, Heavenly Father, and I declare Your favor upon their homes. I declare Your favor upon their marriages. I declare Your favor upon their Children, I declare your favor upon their jobs, that they would have favor whatever they put their hands and their feet to. I declare the favor of God upon their lives, that you would meet all their needs, and that you continue to see that as we serve you and we become more and more committed to you and your word, that something is supernaturally happening in our lives. And I believe you're going to bring forth a mighty church, a church without spot or wrinkle. And that's what you're preparing right now for your coming, Lord. And we thank you for the opportunity to be part of what you're doing in these last days. And we glorify you, and we praise you, and we worship you. In Jesus' name, and everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Lord bless you. Have great fellowship. If you want prayer, I'll be up here. And if any leaders want to join me, that would be wonderful. Praise the Lord. Have fellowship. Have a blessed day. We'll see you tonight. We're going to ham it up.